Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. And quite the week. Eh? As they'd say in C-A-N-A-D-A-A, Canada. Yes, how you doing, Mr. Trudeau? You lose another eyebrow? Did you guys see that picture? You know, Trudeau is such a metrosexual girly man. It just, I don't know, you just want to gag. And he's having this press conference, stabbing Trump in the back after Trump has taken off from the G7. And one of his eyebrows fell off. The guy wears fake eyebrows. You have to, I don't know if we have that picture posted on the website or not, under international. But, oh my. www.ontherightsideradio.com. And if not, Google it up. Just put in Trudeau loses eyebrow. The pictures will come right up. I mean, you will crack up. I'm still chortling, as you can tell. We're going to talk about a whole bunch this morning. I mean, so much happened this week. It seems that the news cycle anymore, more happens in a week with Donald Trump as president of the United States than happened in months with any former president. I mean, even Reagan, when he was swinging for the fences and the guy swinging for the fences, it was like one thing at a time, you know, over the course of a month. With this president, there's like 10 things going all at once. It's unbelievable. And we're going to cover, well, I can't say quite a lot, but we're going to cover a bunch. How's that? So we're going to talk a little bit about the IG report, but no, not the stuff that you're hearing over and over and over and over again on the press, you know, the left press and the right press. And I'm going to bring you the story behind the story because, you know, let's face it, we really weren't surprised by what the IG had to say, although in the end, his gutless conclusion, well, it didn't surprise me, but it was just another period at the end of the sentence of how corrupt the deep state is and how self-protecting they are. But there was, I think, a really important thing that happened in concert with the IG report, and we're going to talk about that because not a lot of people are. In fact, just about no one. We're going to talk about also an outfit called Indeed.com, you know, the big national web-based search, position search site, employers and employees and all this kind of stuff and contractors, and I'm going to tell you a little story about that tonight. And once again, tonight, right? What time is it? Oh, yeah, it's 2:30 in the morning on Saturday morning. It's another early morning for the cowboy bringing you news. We're going to talk about immigration. Now, this is kind of flying under the radar, but the Republicans, the Rhino Republicans led by Paul Ryan, who I really am beginning to dislike more and more. You know, I've never had a warm fuzzy for him, but I'm really getting to the point where I'm tired of him. I can't wait for him not to be Speaker of the House. Just like his boss during the 2012 campaign, Mitt Romney. We may talk about him a little bit tonight. We're going to talk about politics tonight. This morning, excuse me. Maybe I ought to do this show when the sun rises and I won't make these mistakes. How's that? And we're going to talk about politics and what's going on with the upcoming 2018 elections, which are really important, folks. I mean, you got to be gearing up to vote. You got to be getting involved. You got to be talking to your friends. I mean, what we need to have, and I forecast it 6, 7, 8 months ago, I said, no, it's not going to be a blue wave, but it's liable to be a red wave. We'll see. I mean, time tells all tales. Proof of the pudding's in the political eating. But we have a chance to really, really, really make history. And let me tell you, it's up to us. And as far as the Republicans go, the very fact that they're bringing up this immigration thing right now and what they have in it, which will make your kind of your eyes curl. anyway, the Republicans are just, and when I say the Republicans, I'm talking about the establishment Republicans. They are simply unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then I'm going to run down, because so much happened this week, I'm going to run down a bunch of headlines. Many of those stories, and I'll tell you where they're posted, under which category, many of those stories are on the website, and you really ought to breeze through this week. I have a bunch posted. The producers did their usual super job. But I think just reading you some of the headlines, you'll get a flavor for stuff that's going on, and really quite important. In some cases, maybe not so important, but definitely eye-opening. I'm going to run down those headlines for you, and that'll give you a little taste of the week that you haven't heard. How's that? And then we're going to talk a little bit about gun control and what's going on in New Jersey. They just passed 6 new gun control laws. I mean, why anybody would want to live in New Jersey to begin with is beyond me, but why anybody would stay in New Jersey with its high taxes, its corroding economy, its liberal state legislature, you know, and blue policies that don't work, and now this is beyond me. And we're going to talk a little bit about, oh yes, our friend, that great American, Barry Obama. Barack Hussein Obama. Now, the IG report didn't leave him unscathed. In fact, we had corroborated things that I've been telling you for over a year. And, of course, we had corroborated again. I mean, how many times do we need it? That he's just a black and white, out-and-out liar. The guy is just a liar. In this case about, oh, I didn't know that Hillary had a private server and a private email. Gee, Barry, how come you were emailing her? It's all in the IG report. Okay. And also, what was clear in the IG report with the released text, etc., just as I've been reporting, the White House was behind this whole thing. I mean, if you want to start with treason trials, the White House of Barry Obama, Valerie Jarrett, Ben Rhodes, Susan Rice, and a host of others would be a really good place to start. And we're going to talk in that context, by the way, about what we might expect after this IG report. Ooh, the IG report. You know, the Republicans were absolutely insane to put so much stock in this IG report, particularly since under the IG rules or etiquette or swamp protocol, once his report is done, it gets circulated amongst all the little swamp dwellers that the report mentions, and they get to whine and cry and kick their toes in the dirt and go, I didn't mean that. I didn't really say that. Oh, it wasn't my fault. Blah, 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 blah. And try and get the IG to change his report. And you know what? I think they did. It just so happens that Grassley, over in the Senate, has demanded to see the IG's drafts of the report. I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see those drafts, to see what changes were made from the drafts. Remember the Hillary exoneration letter and what we found out from the drafts of that, how they changed, as the IG report now solidified, the fact that foreign intelligence services from at least 5 hostile powers hacked into Hillary's emails on her private server, her illegal private server, putting national security, the security of you and your family at risk. These people don't care about you. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, this morning. I'll be doing this the whole show. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning, too. Because there's a couple of texts which came out, which, of course, the swamp has withheld for over a year, between Strzok and unnamed FBI agents. I mean, the IG couldn't even name the agents. I mean, last time I checked, don't we pay the IG? Doesn't he work for us? Isn't he the watchdog that's supposed to be protecting the people's interests in the swamp? And don't we pay the salaries of these unnamed Agent 1, Agent 2, Agent 3? What is this crud? I want to know the names of these traitors. I want to know the names of these agents whom we're paying six-figure salaries to, who aren't yet fired, who still have security clearances, who tried to interfere with an American election, the American Constitution. I want to know their names. And I want them indicted and prosecuted and spend some time in orange suits. I don't know about you, but I'm sure you feel the same. We're also going to talk about what's going on over in Europe, both with the banking system, because it's teetering. Very important. Remember, I gave you in my shows, first of all, in the last two shows, the show 2 weeks ago, I told you the six reasons the value of your house is going to decline. If you haven't listened to that show, you ought to. And last week, I told you what you can do about it. And listen, I might have left some things off. Got some great emails on that. And if we have time, I'm going to share those with you this morning. But there's problems over in Europe. And part of the problem happens to be this continuing mass migration that Barack Obama and his Islamist friends over in the Mideast, particularly Erdogan in Turkey. And that article is posted, by the way, I believe under International. There's a map of these migration routes. And you can kind of see how these, I don't want to call them immigrants, how these Islamist invaders of Europe, you know, jihad through civilization, civilizational jihad, the Muslim Brotherhood calls it, in the white paper that the FBI uncovered in 2003 in a raid in New Jersey. Gee, we got all the same names coming up. And the Prime Minister of Hungary, who's a rather courageous fellow, kind of Trumpian, in fact, had some choice things to say about what's going on over there. I'm going to share that with you because it's important and nobody's covering it. Absolutely nobody. And let me tell you, with what's happening in Europe, the United States is going to be affected, folks. And immigration-wise, in terms of civilizational jihad, there's a lesson to be learned about what's going over in Europe, too, to be avoided here, particularly since the Rhino Republicans in Congress, along with their Democratic cohorts, are trying to push through a massive amnesty with, like, no enforcement teeth. Amazing, but true. And then we're also going to talk a little bit this morning about Seth Richards. Remember the DNC staffer? In fact, you can put it in the search bar, Seth Richards. I did a number of segments on him. I was always fascinated by that case. I still am. So here's a guy who's an IT specialist working at the DNC, along with another guy who, by the way, was also murdered. Gee, what a coincidence. And they were around Hillary Clinton. Oh, well, that's not surprising. I think the body counts up to 57 now. When I did the show on that, by the way, Hillary's body count, I believe there were 49. So she's been busy the last year or two, adding to her body count. Anyway, poor Seth Richards was murdered, shot twice in the back, 3 in the morning, Washington, D.C., affluent neighborhood. It was chalked up to a robbery, except if you remember, he still had his wallet, all his jewelry, all the money in his pocket. Nobody took anything. He even had his phone. They didn't even take the phone. I mean, that's one of the first things that gets stolen. But it was a robbery, folks. And by the way, the other guy that he worked with, whose name escapes me right now, the other guy that he worked with, who was killed a short time later, he had his throat slit in an alley. But that was a robbery, too, even though, again, nothing was taken. Money was still in his pocket, cell phone, the whole nine yards. And just 12 days after Seth Richards was killed, quote-unquote, WikiLeaks released the DNC emails. Shortly thereafter, WikiLeaks posted a $20,000 reward for the killer of Seth Richards. Now, WikiLeaks has never said that Seth Richards was the provider of the information to WikiLeaks, or that the other IT guy was involved. But there's a lot of dots here. And you know what's really interesting? Because remember, that DNC server, the DNC refused to let the FBI... Oh, there they are again, the FBI. Refused to let the FBI do a forensic evaluation of the server. Instead, they called in a private outfit, CrowdStrike. Wait till you hear this timeline that's now come out. But more importantly, Seth Richards' brother, Aaron, is now suing some of the investigators into Seth Richards' murder, into the whole circumstances surrounding Seth Richards' murder and the DNC and the DNC server, etc. And wait till you hear who his attorneys are. Yeah, that'll open your eyes. Let me tell you, Washington, D.C. is so corrupt. It is so corroded. Barack Obama did such a masterful job in terms of what he wanted to accomplish, the fundamental transformation of America. Under his tutelage, under his traitorous direction, one of the really kind of most revered institutions in the United States, the FBI, is a smoking hulk of reputation. I mean, it has no reputation other than a bad one. All because of Obama's use of that outfit as a political weapon, his appointment of political puppets like Comey, Dirty Cop Comey, and Dirty Cop Mueller to run the deal. And by the way, I don't think that Ray, the new director, is much better. But we'll talk about that. So that is going to be the show. Now, next week, I'm just going to give you a little taste. Next week, I have another segment on mind control. That was a wildly popular segment about, I think about 4 weeks ago. If you have not listened to it, put it in the search bar, mind control, and I'm sure it'll come right up. And it was really eye-opening. I'll tell you what, it was eye-opening for me in doing the research, but I think you'll find it just astounding if you have not listened to that show. And I've been doing more research. I'm so intrigued by it. The fact that now after my research, I verify that in fact there is what's called voice-to-skull technology, where through the use of radio waves or microwaves, you can get inside somebody's head, and if they have a susceptible personality, you can direct their actions, erase their memories, replace their memories. And all the intelligence services and the militaries of the major powers, Russia, the United States, China, are all playing with it. And the fact that we're having these problems now with several of the embassies, the embassy in Cuba, now one of the embassies in China, where embassy staffers are hearing these weird, they think that they're hearing these weird noises or feeling these weird vibrations. That's by the way, causing permanent physical damage to their brains and to their ears. These are all dots that you can't ignore. So, next week, more on mind control, even more stuff above and beyond the voice-to-skull technology I told you about in the other show, which, by the way, may also explain some of these mass shootings, but I'll leave that for next week. And next week, I'm going to bring you quite a study on China. Now, I know the Democrats like to run around, well, there are no Democrats, the progressives like to run around and go, Russia, 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 the Russians are coming, the Russians influenced the election, the Russians hacked our democracy. Oh, the Russians elected Trump, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, they ignore the fact that the only collusion with the Russians was Hillary, monetarily and politically. Irrelevant, not going to go there. You know that scoop. You know the story of the dossier. But I have maintained that the real clear and present danger on the international front, notwithstanding radical Islam, which is a clear and present danger to the world, and as you'll learn more about tonight, to Europe, China, folks. China is the force to be reckoned with now and ever more so in the future. And I'm going to bring you a report next week with a bunch of facts and figures that will absolutely astound you relative to China. I mean, it astounded me, and I follow this stuff. China is a juggernaut. They play long ball. They know exactly where they want to be in 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years. Their entire game plan and strategy domestically, internationally, militarily is all geared to that. The control of natural resources on the planet, oil, rare gems that are necessary for all sorts of electronic military usage. It'll be a real eye-opener. I guarantee you. I have some more research to do, but so far I think I put together a gangbuster segment for you for next week. Now, since it's not next week, it's this week, we'll stick with the stuff. We'll stick with the stuff because there's a lot of stuff just for this week. First of all, let me start off with a little story. So there's this outfit, Indeed.com. You've probably heard the ads. I mean, they got ads running everywhere. And in the ads, they extol how great they are and how many hundreds of thousands or millions and millions or whatever nonsense they got of people have found jobs through Indeed.com, and employers have found great employees, and companies have found great contractors. And to listen to their ads, you simply go on the website and type in your stuff, and within minutes, in fact, I think that's almost a quote, within minutes, your job application is posted, or in just minutes, the job your company needs to fill is out to the world, blah, 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 blah. All right, well, you know, I got a position in one of our outfits that I need filled. And it's unlikely, as much as I love Wyoming, it's unlikely I'm going to find somebody in Wyoming to do it. And it can be done remotely, and it's part-time, and it's a really cool position. It's certainly not boring. And I decided, okay, I've been listening to all these ads for umpteen-ump months, and this outfit says it's so great, I'm going to give it a try. So I go on the website, and, you know, they have this kind of stupid questionnaire that was obviously put together by some millennial who never ran a company, and other than their job at Indeed.com has never had a job. And you type in, you know, what you want as an employer with all sorts of crud. And then you have to type in some verification stuff, you know, who you are, who the company is, and where it's located, etc. Now, listen. This is the year 2018, right? This isn't 1800s. This isn't 1900s. It's not even the year 2000. It's 2018. And I think we all are aware that lots of stuff is done online. And there's lots and lots and lots and lots of positions of all different types that are done remotely. I mean, a large portion of the American workforce never leaves home anymore. They can work from the kitchen table. And if you're rural, that's probably what you're doing if you're working at more than one job. I can tell you that here in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, this poor little hayseed, poor old Wyoming hayseed, I have folks doing all sorts of stuff from all around the United States. I've never even met them. In a couple cases, I've never talked to them. It's all electronic. And they do all sorts of stuff. And I'm sure that some of you who are employers have similar situations. Well, anyway, there is not in the space for the employer to fill out its location. You can choose about any place on the planet. But you know what you can't choose? You can't choose the words off-site. You can't choose the words remote. You can't even choose the words work from your kitchen table. That is not an option on Indeed.com. Which kind of made me scratch my head, like, wow. With millions of off-site jobs going on in the United States and tens, maybe hundreds of millions around the world, this outfit that says they are the end-all, be-all does not have a box to check for remote location. That was the first red flag. Can you see where I'm going here? Anyway, I type up this ad. And you know what's really important, even for a remote person, a remote contractor, because they're going to be interacting with other people on the team, whatever the team may be, and everybody has a personality, not only do they need the experience and the skills to perform whatever function you want them to perform, they need the personality. It does no good to have, like, somebody who's totally soft-spoken and reserved on a team that is bubbling with hyperbole and enthusiasm and whatever, and vice versa, right? You're not. How well are you going to get along if you are take charge and run with the ball with a bunch of folks who can't do anything unless they're told how to tie their shoes? Personality is very important in any position, even, ironically, in a remote off-site position and a position in which you may never, ever meet the other members of a team. So the ad was, if I do say so myself, rather clever. I mean, not only did it get out, as was required by Indeed.com, the skills required and the experience required and the position requirements and the 4 or 5 key job functions, for whatever other term that you might use. But it was written in such a way that it probably would not attract, just because of the way the words were structured and the syntax and the energy behind the ad, it probably would not attract somebody who would not fit with the team, and probably would attract somebody who would fit with my team. And my team needs to be a bunch of go-getters. I mean, I don't have time to tell you how to tie your shoes. I expect you to have shoes, I expect you to have shoelaces, and I expect you to know how to tie the knot. I expect you to know how to tie the knot on time. It's real easy. Anyway, I hit post. You know, there's a big button at the bottom that says post your ad. So I post the ad. Well, I went about my business. I had stuff to do on the ranch. We got water going everywhere. And by the way, unbelievable hay crop. That's a separate story. Maybe I'll tell you a little bit about that too. But I had to go out on the ranch, came back, and here's this email. This is like 5 or 6 hours later. We are unable to verify your company, blah, 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 blah. Now, bear in mind that in the verification box on Indeed.com, I had given them websites, and I had given them Google pages and Google links and, you know, anybody who could type in the word Google and type in my name or the name of the particular outfits for which this person was going to be working as a contractor. anybody who could do that could have verified I am who I am in about 1 nanosecond. I mean, you got the phone numbers, you got the email addresses, you got the URLs, and you got Google or Yahoo or whatever search engine you want to use. But Indeed.com couldn't verify that I was real and existed. And they had a question about why I had posted a city in Colorado as the job location, even though the ad was very clear that this was not a job that anybody had to come to an office for, that it was remote from your kitchen table, anywhere in the United States. I mean, the ad could not have been more specific, which told me that the what do they call it? The quality control, ad quality control, and verification team at Indeed.com, that either they couldn't read, or they were in India, didn't know English, or were incapable of understanding the written word. They were also incapable of typing, because they couldn't type in Google search, and they couldn't type in the URLs. Because, you know, I am not a geek. Trust me, this cowboy ain't a tech whiz. I could have verified who was placing this ad in about 30 seconds with the information that was given. But Indeed.com could not. So they asked me for additional verification. They wanted a utility bill with the address on it. Mm-hmm. And they wanted some third-party documentation that only the employer would have. And they wanted some other crap. So, you know, being me, my eyes crossed, because bureaucracy is one of those things, a lack of common sense, bureaucracy, follow the rules rather than follow the goal. Those things just kind of tick me off. That's one of the reasons, in addition to the much more important reason I love America and the Constitution, that these meanderings, these treasonous meanderings in Washington, D.C., in the Justice Department, the State Department, the FBI, etc., just drive me crazy. Crazy. And, of course, the Indeed.com ad quality and verification control team is, like, totally anonymous. There's no phone number. There is no nothing. All you can do is email quality and verification team at indeed.com. Oh, okay. That's helpful. So I wrote a snippy letter back. I attached some of this stuff, which I had some of our other folks put together for me because I can't find it. And I send it off. And because I'm so ticked off, I actually got on Google, which apparently they can't do, and I researched Indeed.com, and I found their, regional headquarters in Austin, Texas. Anyway, I tried to call Austin, Texas, and was directed instead to Stamford, Connecticut, believe it or not. And I found out, in the course of all this, that Indeed.com's is, of all places, in Stamford, Connecticut. And I'm rather familiar with Stamford. But that is yet another tale. In any event, being the bashful type I am, I managed to get a number at the headquarters of Indeed.com. And I called the number. And I went through, as you would imagine, I went through about five different people. Until finally I got to a guy, I won't use his name here, but he was really quite helpful. And after I growled and grouched and pissed and moaned at him over this nonsense, and he finally said, "You know, sir, I realize you're annoyed, and I realize you're frustrated, and you have every right to be annoyed and frustrated, but it's really not helping." I settled down and went, "Okay, what can you do for me?" And he has been, he, not the company, he has been terrific. However, that was, folks, 6 days ago. Remember the ads? Within minutes, your job application blah, blah, will be all around the world. No, not so much, folks, not so much. It's now 6 days later. The ad is not posted. I'm not any closer to getting somebody that I need like now. And there's somebody out there who's missing a really terrific opportunity that pays well that they would love. And that's because this anonymous, unaccountable, faceless outfit and its verification and ad quality control team is unaccountable and anonymous. just like the deep state. So I'll post you, no pun intended, I'll post you on what's happening next week. But as of right now, some poor gal or guy somewhere in the United States, instead of being busy working, getting a nice check, and working on fun stuff, which is almost never repetitive, that they would personally love, that would suit their personality, their skill set, their experience set. Instead of them doing that, they're still looking for a position. Instead of me getting important stuff done or having important stuff done that I want done, I'm still waiting for Indeed.com. By the way, I got an email yesterday from Indeed.com ad quality and verification control team saying, several days ago, I'm almost quoting, several days ago, we requested information. We have not received it. If we don't receive it in the next several days, we'll assume you're no longer interested, blah, 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 and delete your account. Well, obviously, I got my helper back there in Stanford on the deal. And I wrote back a snippy letter saying, you know, here's a copy of the letter I sent you on Monday with the stuff attached again, and et cetera, et cetera. So, I think there's several job search outfits out there on the web that are kind of like Indeed.com. From my personal standpoint, I would try them first. I'm not sure that I can recommend Indeed.com. Okay, enough of that. But that's my story for tonight. And it ties in perfectly with this faceless, unaccountable, do-whatever-you-want behind-the-scenes deep state morass that has been uncovered, that we are dealing with, all of us as Americans right now. And the IG report. Well, here we got an email coming in. Must be somebody else that's unhappy with Indeed.com. Let's talk about the IG report. So, the left-wing press, which is 90% of the press, is harping on the IG's very, very, very disappointing conclusion. And his conclusion was, he carefully parsed his words. He said, I have no evidence that there was any bias which affected the outcome of this investigation. Now, that could be taken several ways. I mean, in one way, you could say, oh, well, based on the other 568 whatever pages of the report, most of which I've read, not all of it, the other 568 pages of the report, it's clear that there was bias. So what you must be saying by putting these other 567 pages together is that there was a huge amount of bias, but you didn't get an admission from anybody. You didn't get any concrete, hang 'em high evidence, even though the story is clear. Or if you're on the left, you can say, see, this has all been a bunch of conspiracy nonsense. The IG report, you could just forget the other 567 pages, and as a left-wing mouthpiece say, look at this last sentence. It's not the last sentence, but look at this final conclusion. There was no political bias. Well, you know, obviously everybody's running with the ball, and Horowitz, I must say, on one hand, the 567 pages is well put together and has, although we knew it, I mean, we knew what was going on, it does have some startling, even for this scummy mess, revelations in terms of texts which have just come out, or for the first time come out in the IG report, and other things. You know, the IG report nails the fact that Obama knew about and used the illegal server with top secret and confidential information, in other words, committed felonies, and that his claim that he didn't know about it until he read about it in the news, you know, his famous line, like the IRS, Lois Lerner, was an outright bare-faced, look the American people in the eye and lie to them event. It also tells us, as I've been telling you for years, that Barack Obama and his minions, Hillary Clinton included, couldn't give a hoot about our security. Who would share top secret information? What president would share top secret information, special access information? This is like key stuff. This means people live or die, folks. This means we could or could not lose an American city to a terrorist or international threat. What president would share that stuff through unsecured email to an unsecured server to a Secretary of State traveling abroad, including to hostile countries? I mean, really, think about it. Unless it's a president who simply doesn't care about the United States or believes the United States has a comeuppance doing and certainly couldn't care about Mr. and Mrs. Betty Lou in the United States. I mean, it's just, it's sad, you know, it's pathetic, really. So, one of the things which came out of this IG report is that Horowitz, whom everybody, just like Mueller, remember when Mueller started the investigation, everybody was jumping up and down, all the talking heads and all the politician swamp scum were telling us about how wonderful he was. And, you know, he's a military veteran, and he ran the FBI for 10 years, and he did this, and he did that, and blah, 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 blah. And we come out to find out he's just a dirty cop involved in his eyeballs in the Uranium One scandal, involved in all sorts of other scandals. I brought you a whole kind of expose on him. Oh, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago. Just type in Robert Mueller or Mueller. It'll come up. And I got a bunch of emails, if you remember, from the libs who listen to this show because they hate me. I guess they just want high blood pressure. That makes them, you know, feel good. So they listened to the show and they were sending me emails. That's not true. And I actually did like a follow-up segment. Might have even been last week or the week before. You listen to those if you haven't. I mean, Mueller couldn't be dirtier. And this report absolutely puts the kibosh on what he's been wasting our taxpayer money on for the last year. That's one thing this report does. But this report, because of its conclusions, because Horowitz, on the one hand, was courageous enough to put together a great 567 pages of facts, and then kind of like Comey, whom this report really throws under the bus as a dirty cop. Remember when Comey did his press conference, I believe it was like July 5th or something like that, in 2016, and he spends like 13 minutes, and he lays out all the entire case, the framework, the foundation of all the felonies that Hillary Clinton committed. And then in the last 30 seconds says, but there was no intent, which is not part of the law. Never mind the fact, you know, you have to have, when you delete 33,000 emails and then you bleach bit your server and then you instruct your staff to break all your devices into itsy bitsy tiny weeny shards of plastic with hammers, literally. I mean, I'm not making that up. That's what they did. You probably have intent. You probably thought about it and said, I need to do this. If you set up a server and a private email to use, that would seem to indicate some intent. But Comey, in his July 5th, 2016 conference, spends 13 minutes talking about, I mean, like, I was shocked at the end when he said, oh, but there was no intent and no reasonable prosecutor would move forward with this case. I mean, I was like, dumbfounded. My, like, mouth fell open. I remember. I remember watching it. And Horowitz does the same thing. He gives us 567 pages of the most damning story and evidence of incredible corruption, felonies, treason. And then in the last page he goes, but there's no direct evidence that there was any political bias that affected the outcome of these investigations. Really? I mean, you read that last page and your mouth, it's just like watching Comey do his 13.5-minute spiel back in July 2016. Now, going just about 2 years ago, in fact, just about 2 years ago, believe it or not. Boy, does time fly when you're having fun. There's a couple other things in the IG report. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because the airwaves are inundated with it. But these are irrefutable. Number one, there is, for the first time, we learned about how widespread the FBI corruption was. Yes, it was centered. The festering pus of the infection of corruption was centered at the top. Straczynski, Baker, the general counsel, Dirty Cop Comey, before him, Dirty Cop Mueller, McCabe, Strzok, Page. I mean, you're familiar with these names. But this report also divulged for the first time that there were at least five other agents, agents 1 through 5, as the report says, that were also involved in this stinky mess. And that there were still others in the FBI who were running amok, leaking the smelly stuff that was going on in the FBI. And the report brings out for the first time that some of these FBI agents and others were actually accepting bribes from the press. Golf games, expensive dinners, I wouldn't call them little trinkets, but, trinkets of stuff, this, that, and the other. You know, stay at my condo in Vail for two weeks, whatever it happened to be. And in return, they were singing like canaries to the press. So a lot of the leaks were coming from the FBI during the course of this whole thing. So this is a big takeaway that really is kind of new. Because the common theory was that all this... I don't know. I could go off on a tangent here and probably get pulled off the air. But all this crapola, we'll call it, was centered in a relatively few people at the very top. Well, it comes out that actually it's more widespread. And as I have said on this show many times, the culture of an organization is set by the folks at the top. But the culture of the FBI is unfortunately tarnished and no longer trustworthy beyond just the top echelons. And I'm not talking about the bulk of the FBI. There's a difference. Instead of, 5 to 10 bad apples at the top, we now find out that there was a couple hundred, mostly in the Washington, D.C. office. That's not to impugn the other 30,000 agents and hard workers at the FBI. My point is that the culture of corruption that was carefully nurtured and fostered by Barry Obama quite intentionally to turn what had been one of the most respected institutions into America into his own political plaything was pervasive and successful. Remember, Barry Obama, and I did a segment on this in a show in the last 6 weeks. I mean, type in Obama, you'll get a lot of shows. Obama did things with intention, folks. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight because Barry is he's heavily involved in the 2018-2020 elections behind the scenes. And I'm sure he's quite smug in the fact that now, even though his lies and felonies and treasonous acts are coming to light, as I've told you in this IG report and elsewhere and otherwise, that nobody's going to go after him. I mean, there's no accountability. So he's out there consorting with George Soros and doing his political thing, which I'm going to bring you up to speed on here in the politics segment. Another thing that came out here was just how bad Comey was. Now, we all knew he was a dirty cop and he stunk to high heaven. The only thing this report does is tell us how much he stunk. and he stunk even worse than we thought. Another thing that this report cements, I have long told you that the people in the deep state, the people, the power elite, let's call them, and particularly the progressive power elite, doesn't care about you at all. Zero, nada, nothing, nine, not whatsoever. They don't care if you live, they care if you vote. Other than that, they don't care if you live, die. Oh, that's right, they care if you pay taxes too. They care if you vote and pay your taxes. Other than that, they don't care if you live, you die, your family does well, your health is good, you can get to a doctor when you need to, you may or may not get nuked, you may or may not be involved in a terrorist incident. As we've come to learn here over the last several weeks, whether or not you fly safely, I mean, you've heard about this whole scandal at the FAA, instituted by Barry Obama during Barry Obama's term to diversify the air traffic controllers, where literally not having any experience in air traffic controller aeronautics earned you more points if, of course, you were a certain color, creed, or religion than you could earn by being like a pilot. So a portion of the FAA controllers now are, I'll be kind, less than qualified personnel, directing 5 million planes a day, in some of which are you and your families and your other loved ones. How does that make you feel? You think they care about you? Really? Right. Right. I don't know. You lefties who listen to this show, write me some emails and tell me about this FAA thing. I want to know what you think, why you think that's a good thing. I want to know if you think that having the least qualified applicant for an FAA air controller position sitting in that seat, guiding your plane along with the other 100 planes on his or her scope, I want to know why you think that's a good thing. I really, send me an email. Send me an email. Strzok and Page and these other agents that have now come to light in the IG report, agents 1 through 5, let me tell you some of the texts that came out. You've all heard the one about Trump won't be president because we'll stop him. Y'all heard that. How about this? This is what the elites think of you, folks. This is what the elites think of us bubbas, right? Quote, the stink of Trump voters can be smelled in Walmart, unquote. You like that? Another text. Trump voters are ignorant POS. You know what POS stands for, right? Do I need to spell it out for you? I don't think so. Who don't work. They just want to get a free job from Trump. That's paraphrased a little bit, but I think you get the point. Another one said, I'm numb. This was after the election and Trump was elected. I'm numb. How could those blankety-blank dumb blanks vote for this guy? All right. Do you get the idea? Wow. And, of course, there were a bunch of texts in here which tied this whole thing, both the exoneration, the illegal exoneration of Hillary's illegal activities, and the commencement of the Trump hoax to try and bring him down as a candidate, and then, even worse, after his election. As Barack Obama, by the way, was telling us how he was working overtime to try and make this a smooth transition. There was a bunch of those in there. I mean, Barack Obama was in this up to his eyeballs. He directed the whole thing along with Valerie Jarrett. You know, POTUS, quote, POTUS wants to know everything we are doing, unquote. And this is early on. This is not late in the scummy things that were happening. There's another text. The White House is running the show, unquote. I mean, this is pretty damning stuff, don't you think? What came out in the IG report is, despite Clinton's numerous lies. I mean, she and Obama, no wonder they worked together, even though they hated each other. They are just liars extraordinaire. So Clinton, what came out in the report is Clinton did indeed deal with classified and special access information. She did indeed deal with it on her private email, a number of felonies. She did indeed deal with it through her private server, another number of felonies. Some of the dealings were with Obama directly through his private email, a felony. And the whole thing was investigated, you're going to love this, by a bunch of FBI folks, including Dirty Cop Comey, and then discussed and drafted and et cetera through their private emails, felonies. No wonder Comey didn't want to prosecute Clinton. Number one, it would have implicated Obama, his boss, and the guy who appointed him. And number two, how is he going to bring down Hillary if he himself is committing the same felony? Whoo, baby. Just makes your head spin. And it also was corroborated that that thing that Strzok and Comey took out of the exoneration letter for Hillary that they wrote 3 months before she was even interviewed, they took out the words, were likely hacked by foreign intelligence services. They took the whole sentence out. You can see it in the draft of the letter, the exoneration letter. Well, IG Horowitz said, yes, there were at least five, I mean, this is no longer in dispute, this is now a fact, five foreign intelligence agencies, they don't know exactly who, but gee, let me guess, Russia? Oh, hey, probably. Iran? Yep. North Korea? Pakistan? Of course, they got all their stuff from Amran Irwad, who worked for Debbie Wasserman Schultz and all the guys in the Democrat thing. I've done a bunch of shows on that too. I mean, the Pakistanis didn't need to hack Hillary's emails. They had access to the Congressional Intelligence Committee's emails. They had everything they wanted, and probably more. I mean, how many of our agents do you think have been compromised around the world? Worse yet, I mean, even worse than compromised, think about agents that these other hostile foreign powers know about now, and they're feeding wrong intel too. You know, sometimes allowing a spy to remain in place and feeding them nonsense that you want his masters, the United States, to know and act on, which is totally misleading, would be more valuable than removing the spy. I mean, I don't know how we trust any of our intelligence right now. Not that Barry or Hillary would care about it. Just saying. I mean, it shakes your faith in the entire intelligence apparatus of the United States and the highest level of its governments and its primary agencies. Because remember, and the report was extremely critical of John Brennan, but because of the limitations of the IG, he's not a special counsel, he could really only focus on the DOJ and FBI. But Brennan's name is in there. So the CIA, the DNI, the FBI, not only was the intelligence compromised, but I don't know how we can trust the intelligence that we're getting, because that compromise absolutely revealed sources to hostile powers. The other thing that came out, do you remember when Comey testified under oath, of course, dirty cop under oath, to Congress that he did not make a decision until after the tarmac meeting, which I believe was July 2nd. So he made his decision to exonerate Hillary between July 2nd and July 5th, 2016. Well, what came out in the IG report was exactly what we knew all along, that the decision to exonerate Hillary was made like up front, like in March through May of 2016, when they started drafting the letter and taking out all the bad stuff and doing the drafts that we've been discussing ad infinitum for months and months and months. So we learned, well, why don't we just say we had corroborated, we already knew this stuff, right? That Comey lied under oath to Congress. Dirty cops, that's what they do, you know, they lie. Now, we also learned that there was assistant AG, another assistant attorney general, Jerensky or Jasinski or whatever. I mean, it almost doesn't matter what his name is, because I think he's going to get crucified, as he should be. He's in the Justice Department tipping off the Clinton campaign and Hillary Clinton as to what's going on with all these investigations and top secret stuff when she's running for president. In other words, giving her official American intelligence to assist her with her campaign against Trump. And then he recuses himself from the Clinton investigation, except the recusal was public, but in private, he continued to work on it. He's kind of in deep water. There's a bunch of people in deep water right now, if, of course, Jeff Sessions does anything about it, starting with that creepy, dirty cop, Rosenstein. I mean, whew, the tentacles of corruption spread far and wide in our government, folks. It's really quite distressing. What's even more distressing is that our Constitution and rule of law and equality or equal application of the law under the Constitution is in serious risk unless these people are spanked. They got to be spanked. And I mean spanked. I don't mean just fired. Jeff Sessions came out after the IG report and said, oh, well, based on the stuff in this report, I think there's going to be some people fired. Well, that's great, Jeff. They should have been fired long ago. Strzok should not be working at the FBI. You know, they have him in HR, human resources. This guy is now, like, now in charge of recruiting new FBI agents. Now think about what Strzok means. He's a political, dirty cop. You think he's recruiting good, loyal Americans to the Constitution and to the president and to the agenda? Or do you think he's recruiting people cast in his own ilk and further deepening the deep state? What do you think? And he's been there a year, folks, and we're paying him. And he hasn't even been fired yet. Which brings me to the thing that I found most distressing about this whole IG situation. I don't know how many of you saw, it was pretty brief, the, speech, and very short, I mean, like, really abbreviated, question and answer period by Wray, you know, the replacement FBI director, appointed, unfortunately, by Trump. First of all, as a little background, Wray is a former Department of Justice attorney, which is exactly, by the way, what Comey was. I think we might learn that we really want a cop, I mean a real law enforcement guy, at the top of the FBI, because somehow these attorneys, like Mueller, like Comey, and now like Wray, they're political animals. And the thing that struck me most was, after 567 pages of truly scorching damnation of the FBI and the DOJ, but particularly the FBI, in this IG report, Wray comes out in this brief statement and basically whitewashes the whole thing. I accept the IG report and its grave concerns, and I mean just bureaucratic, swamp creature, double think, double talk, mealy-mouthed nonsense. And do you know what his solution to all this was? I mean, he didn't come out and say, you know, I'm going to fire agents 1 through 5. I'm going to fire Strzok. I'm going to recommend that I'm putting a special agent in charge of investigating them for possible indictments that I may refer to the DOJ. I mean, he didn't say any of the stuff you would expect a red-blooded American who's for America and not for the bureaucracy, not for the fourth branch of government, to say. Instead, he talks about how the FBI is still wonderful, and what he's going to do to combat this in the future is, number one, follow the recommendations of the report. Hey, folks, the recommendations of the IG's report Here's a big revelation for you. The recommendations are exactly what the rules, policy, regulations, and laws are now. There's no new recommendations in this report, folks. The recommendation is really follow the existing rules, policies, and laws. So Ray makes this big show of saying, oh, and we're going to follow the recommendation. Hey, buddy, the FBI hasn't been following the recommendations, the rule, these recommendations, because it has been following the rules, the regulations, or the laws since you took over. And you've done nothing to correct the egregious breach of all that stuff by the previous dirty cop, Comey, or the previous dirty cop to him, Mueller. And, you know, the guy did not talk at all about all those poor, honest, hardworking FBI agents that are out there that want to testify. I mean, that according to news sources, want to be subpoenaed by the Congress. I mean, you're telling me he couldn't have stood up and said, and I am, you know, I'm putting out a special edict that any agent that wants to testify in front of Congress may do so without any retribution by the Bureau so that we can get to the bottom of this. He didn't say that. Mm-mm. Nope. Nope. Instead, the way he's going to solve this is he's going to follow the recommendations, as I just explained to you, and you're going to love this. He's going to do, department-wide bias training. Oh, wow. This is kind of like diversity training at Starbucks. The FBI employees, all the agents, even all those thousands of agents that had nothing to do with this corruption. They're all going to get bias training so that this doesn't happen in the future. I mean, it makes you want to retch. And it was the fact that this guy, this deep state swamp creature, this former DOJ attorney, who now unfortunately heads what is a shattered, in terms of reputation, and I'm sure in terms of morale, FBI, that has been just completely corrupted. What this guy is going to do is he's going to do a Starbucks coffee shop program for some seminars for his folks. Wow. You know, how about treason, trials, and rope? All right. So, that is all I am going to say right now. I'm sure some more nuggets will emerge over the coming weeks. Now the IG is doing another report. I remember, we still have to get to the unmasking. We still have to get to the FISA warrants. We still have to get the drafts of this first report to see what was changed and by whom. I think by whom. Who went in and told Horowitz to change this, that, or the other, to change this word and that sentence and this thought. I want to know. And every one of them should be investigated, in my opinion. All right. Immigration. Unbelievably, with the Republicans surging in the polls, the Democrats like on a self-destruct mode. There's actually, Nancy Pelosi was actually calling for people to rise up against Trump across the United States. I mean, she was like calling for insurrection. I mean, she's Looney Tunes. The entire left is Looney Tunes. I don't know how many of you read the articles, but Looney Left is one of the categories. You should read some of those articles. I mean, your jaw will hit the table. That's how outrageous, out in friggin' the left universe, these people and their thought processes are. But it's all done with an agenda, folks. I mean, it's crazy to us because we're America First people. But it's not crazy to them because they know where they're going. They're kind of like the Chinese. They're kind of like the radical Islamists. They know where they're going to. They got a long-term goal. But here we got the Republicans surging. Trump's numbers going up, all this great stuff happening, the deep state being uncovered, even if it's not being held accountable yet, North Korea, blah, 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 Iran, and the Republicans, the Rhino Republicans in the Senate and the House, through Paul Ryan as Speaker, one of his last acts, thank God, are bringing to the floor and trying to press for a quick vote, by the way, before people really catch on. I mean, I find that really scummy. An immigration bill, which, you're going to love this, supposedly ends chain migration, but nobody can really tell you how it ends it, and ends the visa lottery program, you know, where 50,000 people are selected from countries that don't send a lot of people here, and the governments get to choose them, and they choose all the crooks and robbers and whatever, and that's what they send. That's being abolished. However, it's being replaced by another similar program. It's all gone, folks. We're getting rid of the lottery visa. Oh, yeah, but we have this other lottery thing going. Oh, okay. Typical swamp stuff. There's amnesty. There's amnesty for at least 1.8. And if you read, depending on how you read the draft of the bill, 3.9 million illegal aliens, which in and of itself is a problem. But considering the fact that it's going to send a message to the rest of the world that, once again, we're not serious about immigration and we're going to have millions of people trying to get in here illegally again, it's going to undo all the work Trump and a revitalized Border Patrol and ICE has gotten done over the last 2 years. There's no E-Verify. You know, if folks are coming here for a job, on one hand, the Democrats and the Rhino Republicans say, well, they're just coming for a better life. They're coming because they want to be employed, and they're doing jobs Americans won't do. I mean, you know, you've heard the whole long song, contrived, completely false dance. And then they say, but we want stronger security, better immigration, immigration reform. Hey, you know where you start? If the draw is jobs, never mind the fact that if they take a job, an American doesn't get a job, not that you care about Americans, then you have E-Verify. So no employer can hire somebody who is not legal in the country. That's not in the bill. No. So what you concede is the major draw for illegal aliens, you purposely leave out as a control measure in your comprehensive immigration reform bill. Okay. And then tell us about how it's great for security. Oh, man. It's enough to make you just want to puke. The other thing that's in this bill. Oh, yes. The Democrats are trying to insert families can't be separated. Now, look, folks, you've all heard about, oh, these families are being separated at the border, and just like yesterday, okay, because they can't stand that North Korea was such a success. All the left-wing outfits are going, and we take the children away from the families, and everybody's crying, and then we put them in detainment centers, which are like concentration camps. It's like marching them off to the shower. I mean, I'm not making this up. There's really pundits on left channels that are likening this to rounding up the Jews for the Holocaust. Number one, I find that personally, I take that as a personal affront, since my great-grandparents died at Auschwitz. I mean, it demeans the Holocaust. It's just wrong in all sorts of levels. But I digress. This family separation thing, let's remember a basic fact. The families wouldn't be separated if they had not tried to get into the United States illegally. Now, to those of you who are parents out there, tell me what would happen if you or your spouse broke a big kind of law of the United States and you got arrested. I think you'd probably be separated from your family, huh? I mean, they could come visit you in the pokey, but I just don't think you'd be living at home anymore. And these family separations, folks, let's put this in more context. So far, there's only been 2,000, give or take, family separations at the border. 2,000. 2,000. I mean, if you hear the left-wing pundits and press and the progressives and the Rhino Republicans wail about this, you would think like there's millions of kids in American concentration camps crying for mommy and daddy who are somewhere else getting processed through the system and then catch and release into the United States to suck on our welfare teat, dip their hands in our health care free. deliver their babies paid for by American taxpayers, and take American jobs. Not to mention a percentage of them who are violent MS-13 types or violent terrorists, not even from a Latin American country. I mean, don't get me started on this. And the Republicans, who really, if they use their head and go with what 60 to 80% of the folks in the United States, 60 to 80% favor stronger immigration laws, etc. I can go down the list. I've given you the stats before. If they go with what the people want, the people that they supposedly represent, the Republicans could clean house in this coming election. Instead, Paul Ryan is taking contributions or whatever he's taken from, you know, the American Chamber of Commerce. A whole nother discussion, but tied right into what we're talking about right now. I mean, it's just pathetic. Just pathetic. So here's what you can do. By the way, the Democrats are also trying to push basically a ban against arresting illegal aliens into the bill. They're also trying to put something in there where if you're an illegal alien, then you can stay here. I mean, literally. And saying there's no amnesty other than the 3.9 million other people they want to give paths to citizenship to voting to. There's no amnesty, but you can't arrest anybody who's here illegally, and they can stay here forever. Right. Okay. I'm not making this up. What you need to do on this is you need to call your congressmen and your senators, and you need to send them an email, and you need to make sure your friends do, and say, under no conditions should you think about passing this bill. And if you're going to pass any bill, you pass the good late bill, which builds the wall, abolishes the visa lottery, no replacement, ends chain migration, and it ain't fuzzy. It just cuts it off at the knees. Has E-Verify and gives 1.8 million DACA folks, they're no longer kids, a lot of them in their 30s, amnesty against deportation. And allows them to become citizens, but they got to go to the back of the line and follow the rules. You need to write on this, folks. The vote is this coming week if Ryan has his way. Please, take a few seconds. Two sentences is all it takes. Send an email to your senator and to your congressman. Which brings us to politics. All right, so depending upon which poll you choose now, the generic polls, Republican versus Democrat, are about even. In fact, in some, the Republicans have pulled ahead by a couple points. Now, they may give that all back with this immigration nonsense, but that is the way it stands right now. If you go to the politics section on the website, once again, and I'm doing this every week from here to the election, I have a number of candidates selected, and you can contribute to them. And I have try and have pretty much different ones every week, some of which you've never heard of, but it's key districts across the country. Some of them you have heard from in key senatorial races, a few governorships, but mostly the House, secondarily the Senate. And you know what, folks? Send $10. Send $10. Send 20 if you can afford it. 25. I think there's a couple in there this week where there's 4-to-1 matching contributions. In other words, some wealthy donor has said, if you put in $10, I'll put in 40. So your $10 is really a $50 contribution to candidate XYZ. Put your money where your mouth is, folks. What's going to happen in 2018, and therefore, to a large degree, how effective Donald Trump will be in implementing agenda-first policies in the last 2 years of his first term, is up to us. It's up to us. Draining the swamp is up to us. Having people in power who will continue these investigations and hopefully get some indictments and some jail time for the people who must have it to protect the Constitution is up to us. Fixing the FAA and getting qualified air traffic controllers in is up to us. Keeping the tax cuts is up to us. Keeping this economic resurgence going is up to us. Rebuilding the military is up to us. Making sure the North Korean deal is followed through is up to us. Making sure the Iran deal is totally, finally cratered a stake through its vampire heart is up to us. In other words, your security, your safety, perhaps your life, certainly your health, and your pocketbook, and that of your kids, and your children's children, and your rights, and your guns, your right to keep and bear arms is up to you, i.e. us. Nobody's going to do this for you, folks. Send some money. Have your friends send some money. Write your letters. Stay informed. Pass the link on this show or whatever show like it you want. There isn't another show like it, but whatever. Something is better than nothing. Get people informed. Get them geared up to vote. Be involved. I have said this many times. Okay, we are now in a death struggle for the soul of this republic. This is the end game, people. If we blow this, there's no coming back. The fact that Trump got elected, and he got elected with Republican majorities, even though they are disappointing much of the time. The fact that we were able to get a conservative Supreme Court justice, and hopefully we'll get another. The fact that there are now appointments flying through the Senate because Mitch McConnell has finally gotten his cojones on, sewed them on, or whatever he does. And the incredibly left-tilting appointments of Obama are at least being counterbalanced by constitutional judges who don't create law, they just rule on the law. We were 1 millimeter away from losing the country, folks. If Hillary Clinton had been elected, we were done. We were done. And Trump needs a solid 4 years and hopefully a solid 8 years to completely undo the scummy, progressive stuff that's been done for the last 30 or 40 years. And it's up to us. And I don't care if you like Donald Trump or not, but I think it's pretty tough to argue with what he's getting done. And it's impossible to argue what the left would be doing if given power. I mean, they've already told you. Tax, spend, cripple, weaken, undermine is what the left will do. They will finish the assault on the faith, family, and the Constitution. They will make sure that we are not exceptional. They will not correct an $800 billion trade imbalance, which is kicking our butt. We've already seen with 8 years of Obama what the economy does when it's choked to death by regulations and taxes, purposely choked to death. And what the economy can do in the last 2 years when the regulation yoke is cast aside, the tax burden is lessened, and there's a feeling of optimism because it's okay to be great. It's up to us. It's up to you. It's up to me. Let's get her done. That's my political stuff. Now I want to give you some of that. I'm not going to cover everything this morning. I mean, it's going to be crazy. Let me sit down on my little pewter here, and let me type in. I'm going to give you these headlines. Of course, it's so slow. Well, while that's loading, we'll go to the next little segment. Then we'll come back to the headline segment, which is going to be rat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat. New Jersey, gun control. Wednesday, 2 days ago, 6 new laws. Now, listen, New Jersey already bans what they call assault weapons. I mean, you know, like, right, okay. But now they have a Democratic governor. They've always had a Democratic legislature. And they got all the students running around, including a bunch of students from Parkland down in Florida. 6 new gun controls. Number one, a mental health professional will warn law enforcement if a patient threatens serious violence against themselves or others. You know, that's okay, but if you read the law, basically you're giving license to any medical practitioner, even if they just don't like you, to say he or she shouldn't have a gun. Private background checks, or background checks for private gun sales, which is going to be difficult because if you're selling guns privately, you probably don't have an FFE license. Lower the magazine capacity from 15 rounds to 10, with an exception for one popular 22 caliber rifle. You know, 22s can't kill you. Didn't you know that? Yeah, they're cool. Uh-huh. Great. Concealed carry permits have been really tightened. You should be doing just the opposite. I mean, if you are law-abiding enough to get a concealed carry permit, folks, why would you be denied? Why would a citizen who is trained, who has passed a rigorous exam, who has had extensive background checks, because that's the only way you can get a concealed carry, particularly back east, why wouldn't you want that citizen on the streets carrying a gun? Well, because it interferes with government control, of course. Prohibits body armor penetrating ammunition. This is like such a red herring. The ammunition that they include as body armor penetrating is standard round ammunition. I mean, really what they're doing here is banning ammunition of some of the most popular caliber types. The Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, I mean, there are still some sane people in New Jersey, although I'm sure they'll be leaving. His name is Scott Bach, B-A-C-H. Let me tell you what they had to say about these bills. Quote, "None of the bills signed today will make anyone safer. Lawmakers have limited residents' ability to defend themselves while missing an opportunity to make schools safer and prevent those with mental health issues from acquiring firearms in the first place." And by the way, his outfit has filed a lawsuit against the magazine capacity deal. All right. That's what's going on in New Jersey. It's happening in more places than just New Jersey. You better be vigilant, folks, on your Second Amendment rights, or you will find them taken from you. Should I say stripped from you? One of the things that's going on in Congress is some of the Democrats have introduced a bill which literally would require every gun owner in the United States to register every firearm they have. Now, I don't need to tell you that in the history of totalitarianism, in the history of social democracy, you know, like the Nazis, Social Democratic National Party, Argentina, Venezuela, Cuba, go down the list. It's like infinite. It's endless. The first thing they do before they take your guns is they figure out if you have the guns. That's what they have a registration for. That bill's been introduced in Congress. Okay. Like I said, November 2018 is not too far away, and it's up to us. It's up to you, and it's up to me. It's up to us, folks. Up to us. By the way, as an aside, we were talking about Comey. I just found another note of mine here. So the IG, I'm going to go back just for a moment. The IG found five instances in which Comey either drafted official messages on or forwarded emails to his personal account, and at least two instances in which Strzok used his personal email for official business, including one most troubling instance on October 29, 2016, when he forwarded an email about the proposed search warrant the mid-year team was seeking on the Weiner-lamped laptop. These were sent from his FBI account to his personal email. Ha! Imagine that. Imagine that! While we're talking about politics, by the way, because gun control is part of politics, folks, if you haven't figured it out, if you want to keep your guns, you better get involved in politics. You understand? If you want to keep your rights, if you want to keep your tax benefits, if you want to keep that raise in your paycheck, if you want to keep your kids safe, if you want to keep your freedoms, you better get involved in politics. I can't tell you how many people, I'm going to digress for just a moment, how many people I run into go, you know, I don't really listen, I haven't been paying attention, and blah, 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 blah. And I mean, I look at these folks and I go, wow. And at the same time, they tell me, oh, yeah, you know, gun, I got to keep my guns. Totally uninformed, disengaged. Folks, that little engagement button in your brain, take your forefinger and press it 10 times, okay? Engage, 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 engage. Obama's engaged. Oh, yeah. Just like our little buddies at Indeed.com, he's busy working in autonomy behind the scenes. So, you know, he is heavily involved in the midterm elections, and he has actually sent out a target list of Republican seats or seats he feels are vulnerable that he wants his OFA, okay, Obama for America. Obama for America. It's terrific. Quote, transforming the YouTubing, Facebooking, texting, Twittering grassroots organizations, unquote. That's their goal. And he basically is using his army, and he is an army, of left-wing volunteers through Obama for America, whose email list he has turned over to the DNC, by the way. I'm not even sure it's legal, but I think we know he doesn't much care about what's legal or not. Okay, basically he has now switched his army, folks. Remember the words I just used, engage? From pressuring existing legislative folks at the local, state, and federal levels for policy, whatever this, whatever that. Now they have switched to getting the progressives elected, getting the conservatives defeated. They just opened up a new OFA office, by the way, not far from where he lives. Remember, he's only a mile from the White House in Washington, D.C., folks. And they have formed a partnership with the, quote, National Democratic Redistricting Committee. Now, who do you think runs that? Oh, that's right, Eric the Crook Holder. Remember, I've told you several times about Eric Holder having lawsuits all over the place, the most prominent one, which could affect, by the way, whether or not we keep the House in Pennsylvania, trying to redistrict so that more Democrats get elected, jumping up and down and claiming gerrymandering in every state that has solidly red districts. Do you understand the 10-pronged assault here? Number one, you bring in illegal aliens, and you spread them around to red districts across the United States. You begin changing the demographic structure of red districts. Remember the new FHA policy where low-income and other types of government-subsidized housing can be built for a whole bunch of reasons? I did several segments on this. Can be built for a whole bunch of reasons in affluent suburban neighborhoods because of diversity. It's everything about diversity, you know. No, folks. It's about changing the demographics of red districts. So on the one hand, you have in a whole bunch of ways, through federal housing programs, illegal immigration, refugees, right? The refugees were legal immigration in Obama's time, and they were flown to red districts. How do you think Maine has got such a big population of Somalis? What do you think? The same with Minnesota. And where you can't change the demographics in time, you change the district lines. That's where Holder comes in, the National Democratic Redistricting Committee. And how do you get all that done? Well, you have your community organizers organizing on the ground in social media. That's Obama's OFA. Obama was also recently involved, in fact, this past week, in a top-secret, high-level Democratic deal where 2020 presidential candidates were vetted and interviewed. Barack Obama, traitorous, duplicitous, progressive, alt-left Islamist, is alive and well, folks. Completely unaccountable for his lies and crimes. I've given several of them to you tonight. Just him sending emails to Hillary's server back and forth on his private email is a felony. It's actually several felonies. using classified information in those emails are additional felonies, which he did on the IG report. Lying to us about it, which he did, is just his MO. Unfortunately, there's no law about a president lying to the American people. Let me tell you what they're doing. OFA will also work in 9 states to campaign for ballot initiatives. Now, do you think they care about the ballot initiatives? Not really. I mean, yes, it's an attack on faith and values, and that's a good thing, but that's kind of the icing on the cake for them. These are ballot issues which are designed to draw progressive voters to the ballots who, at the time that they're in the ballots voting for the legalization of pot or whatever the issue happens to be, they will also pull the lever for alt-left candidates for Congress and Senate. It's one of the ways Obama's OFA turned Colorado blue, or at least a blue shade of purple, by using pot to get people to the ballots, which then installed a Democratic legislature, several Democratic congresspeople, and at least one Democratic senator, who then can, once in place with a Democratic governor, Hickenlooper, this is like a classic example of what they're doing, can allow more and more illegal immigration and demographic changes, which gives them more and more control and power and votes, which keeps it more and more and more blue. You get it? You see what they're doing? Engage, folks. Engage. This is the end battle for the soul of the Republic. Trust me on this. There is no tomorrow, folks. There is no tomorrow. Let me give you a quote from Mr. Obama. Quote, change requires more than righteous anger. It requires a program and it requires organizing. By the way, the congressional districts that he has targeted, just very quickly because I got listeners all around the country, in fact, all around the world, Arizona 02, California, districts 04, 10, 21, 25, 39, 45, 48, 49, Colorado, District 6, Iowa, District 1, Illinois, District 6, Kansas, District 3, Minnesota, District 2 and 3, Missouri, District 2, North Carolina, Districts 09, 13, New Jersey, District 11, New York, District 11, Pennsylvania, and, you know, Pennsylvania, we're having big, well, perfect example of number one, immigration, demographic change through outrageous policies and illegal executive orders and secretive manipulation of refugees and illegal aliens from the border, coupled with lawsuits by holders, national Democratic redistricting deal, and organized by Obama's Organizing for America. So, Pennsylvania is like a textbook case, just like Colorado was in ways a textbook case. But anyway, Pennsylvania districts 1, 6, and 7. Texas district 7, 23, 32. And Wisconsin district 1. You folks in those states and those congressional districts, you better really engage because you're in the sights, baby. You're in the crosshairs of the progressives. You better get rocking. I am probably not going to have time to cover. Well, actually, I am. It's going to be my last segment. There's a couple of segments I'm not going to be able to cover, but I am going to cover this. I'm not going to be able to cover the European segment. I'm sorry, folks. I'm going to leave that for next week, which actually will be good because we can compare China. Man, the stats I have for you in China, you're just going to... I mean, that's a juggernaut. You have no idea what China is doing and what China is capable of. It's downright scary. And it was all basically from American know-how, expertise, and money. It's just, you know, Karl Marx once said of capitalism that they will sell us the rope we hang them with. Think about that. Marxism, communism will triumph because capitalists will sell to the Marxists the rope the Marxists will use to hang them. I hope he wasn't prescient. In China's case, he may have been. So let's talk about Seth Richards. And I'm going to abbreviate this for you. So Aaron Rich, it's not Richards, it's Seth Rich. Aaron Rich, his brother, they filed a lawsuit in April. This is just coming out. Like, this is this week. In the U.S. District Court, District of Columbia, against a guy by the name of Ed Butowski. He's a big hotshot wealth management financial advisor. He personally financed, by the way, private investigators originally to help the Rich family find Seth's killers. His attorney is a guy by the name of Ty Clevenger. There's a guy by the name of Matt Couch. He has a media company, America First Media, conservative-leaning newspapers. Anyway, Aaron Rich sued all these folks and the Washington Times for defamation, intentional infliction of emotional distress, and a bunch of other nonsense. Okay? And they're trying to say that they also went to Twitter, etc., and to the email servers for all these people and demanded to see all their emails, even attorney-client privileged emails. And this is all because they're trying to investigate what really happened to Seth Rich. Now, here's where the story gets really interesting. What these guys who are investigating are doing is they're asking the Seth Rich family, Aaron Rich being the other brother, to write a letter to WikiLeaks, allowing WikiLeaks to release the fact that Seth Rich was the leaker of the DNC emails to WikiLeaks. Because WikiLeaks can reveal, any news outfit can reveal a source if the source agrees. That's part of kind of like the journalistic ethics. Obviously, there's been no agreement. WikiLeaks has never admitted, even though if you draw all the dots, Rich gets murdered. 12 days later, WikiLeaks releases the DNC emails. A week or two later, the guy that Rich worked with, another IT DNC guy, also gets murdered. A week or two after that, WikiLeaks posts a $20,000 reward for any information leading to Seth Rich's murder, so on and so forth. You know, the suspicious circumstances surrounding his murder. 3 a.m, affluent suburb, shot twice in the back. All sorts of weird stuff happened at the hospital. Supposedly a robbery, but nothing was taken, etc., etc. I mean, there are just too many dots to, you know, not connect and to ignore. I mean, let's face it. The people, obviously what's happening in this lawsuit is that Aaron Rich, the plaintiff, is trying to stop these investigators and their sponsors from getting any information from WikiLeaks that would reveal the true source of the DNC emails. And you scratch your head and go, well, what does Aaron Rich have to do with it? You know, Aaron Rich doesn't have a lot to do with it. He's kind of the patsy. Here's what Ty Clevenger, he's the attorney for some of the guys who are trying to get the information, who are trying to uncover what really happened with the Seth Rich and the other guy's murders. Quote, they won't authorize WikiLeaks to reveal what it knows. If they have nothing to hide, why not authorize WikiLeaks to reveal the information? For all we know, there was a contract between WikiLeaks and Seth Rich, and if there's a contract, his estate can still enforce the contract. And who's in charge of the estate? Oh, Aaron Rich. That's all we're asking him. Unseal the case. Put the facts out there. Quit trying to hide behind all these excuses. Let's get to the heart of what went on. They're going to desperate lengths to change the subject from the fact that they don't want WikiLeaks to reveal what it knows. Let me tell you who Aaron Rich's attorneys are, folks. And I think that then you will understand what's going on here. So, Aaron Rich's primary attorneys are a guy by the name of Michael J. Gottlieb and Merrill Gavrinsky, G-O-V-E-R-N-S-K-I, of the Boies Schiller Flexner LLP. that happens to be a left-wing law firm in Washington, D.C. You'll love this. Gottlieb served as special assistant to the president and associate White House counsel to Barack Hussein Obama from 2009 to 2010. His specialty was national security law and judicial nominations. He left the White House to serve as senior civilian and deputy director of Combined Joint Interagency Task Force Kabul, Afghanistan, and then returned to the White House counsel office, where he served until the end of February 13. He's also a former public relations agent for CNN. My, oh my, oh my. Another of Rich's legal team is a guy by the name of David Boies. You may recognize that name, or you may think, God, that sounds familiar, and I'll tell you why it does. He's the chairman of the Boies, Schiller, and Flexner law firm. And he's been involved in just a few kind of high-profile Democratic cases, like Bush versus Gore, the defense of Harvey Weinstein, and the United States versus Microsoft Corporation. Why don't you folks put on your thinking caps, and why don't you tell me why those huge Democratic legal guns, and I mean, this is the top of the Democratic battleship, legal battleship list. You don't get any higher than the guy who argued Bush versus Gore. You don't get any higher than White House counsel. Why are these people involved in Aaron Rich's crusade to make sure that WikiLeaks does not reveal the source of the DNC email leaks? I'm going to end the show with that rhetorical question for you to ponder. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Engage, patriots. Engage. The elections are going to be won or lost in the next month or two. This is when people's minds get made up. This is when the campaigns need money. This is when you need to get people geared up for November, which, folks, is just 4 months away. July, August, September, October. 4 months away. Get involved. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.